This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's the Power Hour. That's what my partner calls it. Dick Vitale coming up at the bottom of the hour. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Of course, you got us on ACC Network. We're streaming live on that ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371. Fun show, a lot of good guests, a lot of good times. Some information. ACC Women's Basketball Tournament starts today in Greensboro.
Yep.
We look forward to being there on Friday doing the show live. Next week when the men's take over, we're there Tuesday through Friday.
Extended stay in the Gate City.
Then the week after that, we do our Bristol Spring Tour.
So we're spring break. Most people go to like tropicals, that kind of thing. We're going to Bristol.
We've been summoned.
Studio G, I think is what it's called.
Is that it?
You know what the studio is, right, Josh, Drew? Is that right? Studio G. Studio G will be broadcasting from each day.
We're not going to be in the basement very much here in the next couple of weeks.
A lot of basketball, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of basketball talk on the spring break trip.
Yeah.
Men's and women's. So.
All right. Tonight, we got games. Florida State, Notre Dame, to me, is the most important game of the lot tonight.
Florida State, Notre Dame. Yep. It's on the ESPN2 at 9 o'clock tonight. Mike Cousins and Jordan Cornette will be at the Purcell Pavilion. This was a one-point game in late January, probably best known for Mike Bray's 35-second post-game rant. But
$20,000 less.
Well, the other thing is, too, Florida State had a big lead, and Notre Dame rallied. And in the end, the Noles held on to win and extend their home winning streak at the Tucker Center. But Notre Dame has some things that could bother potentially Florida State tonight. The most notable is their ability to shoot it. Whether it's John Mooney inside, John Mooney outside, or rattle off your favorite Notre Dame player shooting it from the perimeter, Pack. This is what the Irish, this is the calling card of Mike Bray's team.
It's also a infamous ACC index card game because the Irish in free throw attempt margin are fourth in the league. Florida State, 12th.
Notre Dame doesn't foul, do they?
They do not foul. I was going to go foul margin. Notre Dame is number two. Florida State is 15, 14, 13, 12. So you have total ends of the spectrum on the infamous ACC index card on this one.
By the way, your card not nearly as colorful as mine is, but it's still
black
nonetheless.
Black and white for me.
How's that look over there?
I don't need all the frou-frou colors that you got going on. It's a pencil and a piece of paper. That's all there is to it.
Huh.
But the numbers don't lie on this one. This is an extreme kind of game. You got one team that doesn't foul, another team that hacks a lot.
Yeah.
And brings in waves of dudes. And again, if Notre Dame makes shots from the perimeter, it's going to be tight now.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels like if you're a Florida State fan, hey, Clemson's rearview mirror, that's done. You still control your destiny to finish number one in the league. But you better win this one. And Notre Dame is always a scary team when they're making shots at home. They'll be excited to see Florida State come to town.
I think this team here after Saturday, by the way, Saturday was going back and watching some of that game.
It was a great game.
That was one of the better games in the league.
I agree.
I think you're going to get their full effort. There's no doubt about that. I think the other thing tonight that intrigues me, and maybe aside from the first game, how will they try and maximize their depth tonight in a game like this? Mm-hmm. And we didn't touch on that earlier in the show today, but I do think that's one of the things about Notre Dame and Florida State tonight to keep an eye on. How quick is Leonard Hamilton to get in the bench? Because be honest with you, Notre Dame is 7 at the max.
That's it.
And foul trouble can also be costly. That's why the Irish doesn't foul. They know how what a liability it can be in ball games for them.
You know what I like about this kind of game tonight? Mm. And granted, I think Notre Dame's only chance to get to the NCAA tournament is to win the ACC tournament next week. So in some respects, I think they understand that too. So they could play free tonight. I mean, win or lose, it really is not going to affect their standing as far as the NCAA tournament. That makes them dangerous. When they can play free and loose, and let's just go out there and do our thing. I love it too because for Florida State, if you're going to be a championship team, these are the kind of games that coming off a loss, you have to win, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to, I don't care what the sport is, there's always those moments when you go on the road to take on a really good team that's excited to see you, that you walk in there and you say, guess what? we're the champs. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're a championship DNA team because we win games like this. So there's a lot at stake in this game tonight. And when you take a big picture of not only tonight, but where it is for Florida State, looking down the road, Louisville's got to go to Virginia.
Right.
Right now, the Cards are a half game up on the Noles, technically. But the good news for Florida State, you've got the tiebreaker against Louisville. So really, in some respects, even though your name's in the number two slot, you're really in first place.
Oh,
if you go absolutely. WW, mm-hmm. it's yours.
Right.
Right? So that's why, as a fan tonight, I can't wait to watch this. Because I think you're going to get Notre Dame's best. And I think Florida State says, you know what? Forget what happened at Clemson, baby. We're Florida State. We are the best team in the league, and let's go prove it.
Here's what Pac's talking about. The top four are locked for Greensboro next week in the double bye, but Florida State owns the tiebreaker on Louisville by virtue of the win a week ago Monday night to sweep the season series. So if the Noles win tonight, they'll be tied with Louisville, but essentially Florida State will have the top seed. Then all they'd have to do is beat Boston College on Saturday to solidify it. And regardless of what Louisville does at Virginia, Florida State would be the top seed. Where Louisville has to be careful is the way it relates to Duke and the way it relates to Virginia.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you're going to drag that Virginia-Louisville rematch into play. Then Duke and Louisville starts to matter, all that kind of thing. So while Louisville is sitting there at one today, they could be four Saturday night.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, you know, Florida State stubs their toe tonight. And Louisville loses at Virginia, and North Carolina, who's hot, knocks off Duke. Everybody at the top's got five losses. All four of them have five L's.
Now,
elite glob.
How do they figure that out? They start with your record against the other three combined.
Yeah, we're not going to worry about that. You of all people shouldn't worry about that.
Come on.
I'm
excellent at the math.
Oh, you're tremendous.
Excellent.
Tremendous. Let's just let it play out, and we'll get to it on Monday.
Excellent. By the way, if there are any ties after the record against the other three is determined, then it goes down to head-to-head.
You got that, though. You can handle that one.
Tie-breaking specialities.
But when you realize Louisville's got Virginia Saturday, I think it's going to be a great, great game.
Louisville, Virginia?
Oh,
no question.
It's going to be great. But tonight's game, Florida State fans, and you know it, this is one of those you say, you know what? We knew we had to go to Clemson. We knew we had to go to Florida State. We know that wasn't going to be easy. Tough loss Saturday in Little John. You got to get this one tonight. I like their chances, BC, as beat up as the Eagles are, home, all that stuff. This one tonight is a big game for the Noles.
By the way, if you're just jumping ahead to Saturday, and we can because that's what we're allowed to do, I guess. Louisville, Virginia is a 4 o'clock start on Saturday. Boston College, Florida State is 4:30. So nobody knows what the other guy's doing because they got to tend to their own knitting.
And North Carolina Duke's later that night?
6 o'clock, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock start is Virginia Tech, Notre Dame on Saturday. Remember, there are two Friday night games. Clemson, Georgia Tech, which will be the final game of the regular season for the Jackets, and NC State, Wake Forest.
Final game,
those are
period.
Friday night, right. Final game for Georgia Tech and NC State, Wake Forest. Now, both coming off losses. And, you know, if NC State wants to keep hope alive.
It's a must win.
Yeah, it's a must win. And likewise for Clemson. Regardless of what happens tonight in Blacksburg, although they probably ought to win tonight in Blacksburg.
Well, you have to. If Clemson has any thoughts.
Well, you said went out plus two or three, right?
I think that, you know, their resume, Wes, just isn't. They're not in the conversation.
Yeah.
The first four out, the next four out, the friend of a friend who's got four out. I mean, they're not in that conversation despite three phenomenal wins.
Yeah.
Phenomenal wins.
That's a 7 o'clock game tonight. Chris Spatola, Chris Cotter in Blacksburg tonight for us on ACC Network, by the way.
Curtis Spatola's there?
No, Chris Spatola. Well,
Chris
is
Spatola.
There. Chris Spatola, yeah. Virginia Tech won the first meeting of the year, by the way. Landers Nolly went crazy at Little John. Game one for both schools.
That game to me is as simple as this. Is Virginia Tech making threes? If they are, I love their chances.
Yeah.
If they're not making threes, I love Clemson's chances. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah. By the way, BPI's got Virginia Tech as a slight favorite tonight. 55.3 on the
could
scale
be.
There. Let me get to the other two. We have not spent a lot of time on Virginia at Miami tonight or Pitt at Georgia Tech, and I want to spend a couple moments on those. Virginia has won six straight, five by three or less in that run. And the Cavaliers go to Miami, who, in all honesty, the Canes are just kind of waffling here at 6-12. They give you something, you're thinking, okay, Miami's going to make this move, and then, you know, they can't cash it out. Chris Likes, clearly talented. I think Isaiah Wong has been a nice surprise pack for a rookie.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So we'll see what the Canes have tonight. But it was funny. We were talking dangerous Carolina, scary Virginia with Greenberg. And I think scary is the right way to describe where UVA is right now. And he talked about length and presence and all the things they did well the other night in beating Duke. Well, guess what, Virginia? You get to prove it tonight in Coral Gables at 9 o'clock on ACC Network. And I'll be honest with you. It's the time of year in South Florida where if the Canes aren't really kind of playing toward the front of the ACC, the crowd in Coral Gables might be a little lean tonight, Pac, at 9 o'clock.
Well, that may be true. I'll tell you what else is going to be lean if you're expecting a lot of fouls called.
Going back to the card again,
are you? I'm going to the infamous ACC index card. You're talking about teams number 2 and number 3 in the league doing the best job of not getting a whistle blown on them. So this could be a quick one. I mean, they're going to play 40 minutes. You like those 2 minute, 2 hour and 8 minute baseball games? This one's going to be quick. Because these teams
there's
don't
no
pop.
College game in 208, Pac.
Well, there was the other day.
Unbelievable.
It was a perfect game.
Yeah. Well, that's unbelievable.
But this one tonight, if you're listening for whistles, I don't think you're going to get it the way these two teams don't foul.
Yeah.
But Virginia's playing good basketball, man. They've won six straight, but you can't have the look you had to Louisville. Can't do it. Can't get down there and get lulled into the whole, man, it's 82 degrees, and, man, it feels a lot nicer here than it does in Charlottesville. You can't get into that. You can fall into that trap down there in Miami sometimes.
By the way, Miami wraps with the game tonight against Virginia and then Saturday against the Orange. Hey, Syracuse, making that long trip, wearing the T-shirts and shorts.
Yeah, but Syracuse with a W goes 11-9.
Down to Coral Gables.
Still has the same issue as Notre Dame and a lot of other folks.
Clemson, NC State.
Going to have to win a tournament.
Pitt at Georgia Tech is 9 o'clock tonight. Game will be available for you on ACC NX from Atlanta. Final home game for James Banks and the ramifications of the NCAA sanctions and Georgia Tech electing to drop their appeal for postseason means that tonight is Banks and Shambari Phillips, who transferred from Tennessee a couple of years ago. It's their final home game at McCamish Pavilion. Josh Pastner's team tonight finds themselves in a spot where if they beat Pittsburgh and beat Clemson on Friday night for just the third time since 1995 when they went 8-8, Georgia Tech will have a winning record in the ACC. Now, people head scratch this one like you've never seen. And because we brought it up on the show about a month ago, the stat pack, I've been asked about it here more and more in the last couple of weeks. But, and the, you know, the sanctions aside to miss the tournament, Georgia Tech's finished in a flurry here.
They have.
And played well.
And on the other end of the spectrum would be Pittsburgh. And I have been personally disappointed with the Panthers down the stretch.
Six straight and 7-8, right?
Six straight losses. They lost 7-8. Just thought they were ready to get to the middle tier of the ACC. And really a month ago, they were there. They were in a prime spot. Had they finished strong to be right there in the middle of the glob.
Right.
And for whatever reason, Wes, they just can't find a way to win a game. And I know that Coach Capel's got to be frustrated with it, but they've been close. They just haven't been able to get over the hump with that good backcourt and even some additional freshmen chipping in it. But I don't know. Pittsburgh's been a disappointment for me personally. I just thought that they were ready to go to get to the middle part of the league, and it just has not happened this year.
By the way, I think Justin Champagny's got a chance to make the All-ACC rookie team.
I totally agree. And, you know, you throw him in with that backcourt, you're thinking, okay, what are we missing here? And, again, I'm not talking about being one of the four or five best teams in the league, but I really thought, you know, 7, 8, 9,
right, is
kind of where they would end up, but it's not going to happen this year for Pitt.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Dick Vitale coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes. We look forward to that, as always. And we always look forward to tournament time because the ladies take front and center beginning this afternoon. And you got North Carolina Wake Forest. We saw the men's version of that last night. You got the ladies' version of it starting off the ACC tournament in Greensboro.
I like the Leonard Skinner bumper.
Ezzy.
right there. I like Jen Hildreth's comments with us today about Carolina Wake Forest. Janelle Bailey did not play in the first game. Wake won 82-79 in overtime. Not that long ago, about a week ago, change. Be interested to see kind of how that one unfolds today.
You know, I just mentioned how I was disappointed how Pittsburgh has finished up on the men's side.
Yeah.
North Carolina's ladies team has kind of done the same thing, right? I mean, midway through the season, they were really kind of a pleasant surprise and on a roll. And, boy, it just ended kind of in an ugly poop slap. I mean, they did nothing here down the stretch. But, you know, you go to postseason play, Wes, you just never know what happens. Yeah. I mean, it's a fresh start for everybody.
Taylor Coonan, obviously Janelle Bailey, those are the headliners. Carolina and Courtney Banghart's first year. Little fade down the stretch. Let's see what happens in Greensboro. I think the same, too, as much as you're concerned about the Carolina fade, is another thing that Jen mentioned to us in her visit was where Notre Dame's gone here.
No doubt. And we mentioned that with Jen that, you know, much like North Carolina's men's team, who's now won three in a row, feeling good about life, Notre Dame's ladies have won three straight, including the win against Florida State at the end of the regular season, which eventually did not hurt the Noles from a seeding perspective. But we know how great a coach Muffet McGraw is. And this has been one of those kind of years that you just go, hey, you know what? We'll get back to the drawing board. They got great players coming in next year. When you lose 95% of everything that you do from a team that was going to Final Fours, winning championships and everything else, you knew there could be a step back. But they've kind of found it here down the stretch. And, you know, it would not surprise me at all to see Notre Dame, who should beat Pitt. Let's be honest. Pitt's had a terrible year on that front. So I suspect that Notre Dame wins that game. And, you know, then the nightcap tonight with Miami and Clemson, you mentioned the fact that, hey, one of the best players on the planet is rejoining the Canes at the right time.
Yeah, Beatrice Mont-Premier back in the lineup for Katie Meyer and has been exactly what we thought we'd see in the preseason before the foot injury. So we'll see. Miami, I think, is a threat, certainly. That's a team that's – she does such a great job coaching them. She's a tremendous player, Mont-Premier. Maybe keep an eye on them. And keep an eye on Notre Dame here today and maybe tomorrow.
Yep,
we'll see how that goes when we get to the middle of the of that first bracket.
Yeah, we'll spend more time, obviously, on the ACC Women's Tournament tomorrow based on what happens today and tonight and kind of set the scene for us making our appearance on Friday morning up in Greensboro. We look forward to that, needless to say. We also discussed resume building. Right, and I think both of these teams, Clemson and NC State, on the men's side now, have work to be done. And I think NC State's closer to being where they want to be than the Tigers are.
Right.
But neither one of them can lose again. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Clemson plays tonight at Virginia Tech. They got Georgia Tech coming to Little John on Friday. You have to have a 2-0 week and then get hot next week in Greensboro. And for NC State, they had a golden opportunity on Monday night against Duke. Started off well, then got blown out in the second half. The Wolfpacks got Wake Forest coming to town. So NC State's got to win that last one before they get to Greensboro. I mean, it's that easy.
Is there a number on this? I mean, the three quad one wins for Clemson, everybody knows it, Louisville, Duke, and Florida State. NC State with four. They had five, by the way. And that, see, the quad one number moves just like the net number moves now because you have teams fall in and out of quad one. So that's essentially four wins against the top 50, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so you can see that that number changed. BPI, strength of schedule, okay. I mean, let's see where this goes. But, you know, if you're going to lean one way, you'd lean NC State at this point. Although Clemson's got the three best quad one wins, as you said earlier, maybe of anybody in the country. Got three top 10 wins.
Well, they have three top six. Nobody else in the country's won three against the top six. And I just think they both are on the outside looking in as we sit here today. And given what's left in the regular season – you know, again, Clemson's got new tech, old tech. You got to go to if you're going to be a tournament team, those are games you've got to win, and then go grab a couple big ones if you can in Greensboro. And for NC State, you know, you got the big one against Duke at home, had a chance with Florida State, the game that you did, had a chance in that game, had another opportunity Monday night, lost both of them. So at the end of the day, WWWW, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
And you got to really hope that some of these other conferences – that there aren't some surprises where somebody's stealing a bid, because if that happens, that's a real killer.
Yeah, we said earlier, A-10, American, Pack says all of them.
I think all of them. Even
the one bids?
No. The one bids, it doesn't matter because they're only getting one, whether it's the one seed or the 10 seed. But in leagues in which there are multiple bid teams going to the tournament that you expect, you don't want to have a surprise. Where if you said, hey, fill in the blank conference, looks like they're going to get two or three in the dance, you don't want a fourth team who's the 8 seed to get playing with their hair on fire for 3 days and still a bid. When you're on the bubble, that is a killer. Because even when you think that, hey, we've won enough to get in, somebody comes back doors you. Like, man, where'd those dudes come from? They're not even in the conversation. That's the killer.
All right. Here are the ones that I would point out to you then. Joe Lenardi's got 4 in the ACC this morning going to the show.
And I think that's right.
I do too. SEC 4, by the way. Big 12 6, Pac 12 7.
I think that's a lot. 7 from the Pac 12 seems like a lot to me.
Big East 7. Big 10 has 10. Okay. Now, the American has 3. The West Coast has 3. Those are two leagues I'd keep an eye on because what you don't need is a fourth.
That's right.
I would throw the A-10 in there because Richmond is hanging around on this last first four out right there with NC State. The American I would also add because Memphis is in that neighborhood. Utah State, who's a WAC team, is kind of hanging in their first four out. Rhode Island, that's a A-10, right?
It is.
Rhode Island would be on that A-10 line. Richmond, you know, Wichita State, Cincinnati. All of a sudden, you got this Texas thing going on.
Horns have won 4 in a row and won at Oklahoma last night, fresh after beating at Texas Tech over the weekend. Shock his guys are playing hot at the right time.
And we have to say Arizona State's making a nice move because
I think 7 teams from the Pac-12 just even sounds like a, what are you guys talking about?
It does.
I mean, that league for the most part has been invisible.
They've also got Stanford in.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you get Colorado's and the Stanfords and Oregon's. I mean, Oregon's a good club. Arizona State. Then you got UCLA, red smoking hot. A 7 seems like a big number for the Pac-12. Just my opinion. Of course, it changes on a daily basis.
Their tournament's still in Vegas, isn't it?
It is. Which, by the way, is a great place for the tournament. And it seems like there's, 4 or 5 conference tournaments?
Yeah, West Coast is there, too.
Everybody's there.
Sean Farnham was telling me he's going to be in Vegas, I think, for the West Coast.
If you think about it, it's a perfect place for a conference tournament.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because, hey, your team plays, you're into the game, you're watching it, and have a good time. Want to go get something to eat? Well, there are 18 trillion great places. Entertainment, chill and grill.
You go to that Bouchon in Vegas. That's a good spot.
Never been there.
Yeah. Bouchon's good. It's actually in Northern California. It's a guy who started French Laundry.
I like that. Again, you've been outstanding today in dropping names. That's an excellent drop.
No, I just talk about a restaurant.
I know. It's an excellent drop.
That's not a name drop.
That's a good one.
Is that a name drop, Josh, Drew? Am I in trouble for that one?
Hold on. I got to pick it up off the floor.
Been taking a lot of criticism today for talking about people who've been very kind about the show and wanted to wish you well, and so I was name dropping.
Who's coming up at 9:30?
What?
Who's coming up at 9:30?
Dick Vitale.
There you go again.
No, I'm just promoting a show. Dick Vitale is coming up next. We're going to visit with the Hall of Famer. This will be fun, right?
Always.
Yeah, come on. We'll get into a lot of stuff with Dickie V, who was in Charlottesville last week to watch that game, Virginia and Duke. Don't forget as well.
Who did he do the game with?
Bob Wischusen.
There you go. There you go. It's another one.
Man, Bob, come on, man. That's my guy, Wischusen, voice of the Jets.
Hey, there we go.
What? He's a Boston College grad. Is that name dropping too?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Dick Vitale is going to join us here coming up momentarily. Dickie V breaking it down. Big game tonight in the ACC, though, as we talked about already multiple times. Florida State on the road at Notre Dame. Keep an eye on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones, Clemson, obviously important for them. Big picture as they try to sneak into the bubble.
Right.
That's kind of where they are, kind of sneak into the bubble.
Into the conversation requires win-win, and win-win in Greensboro, Wednesday, Thursday. I think you either NC State or Clemson to work their way back have got to get to Friday night. I think they have to bust up the front four.
Somebody has to.
Right.
Right. And that's why you asked me yesterday who's got the best chance. The team with the best chance is the one that's done it.
That's Clemson. Clemson. Yeah.
I mean, they're the only ones with check on Duke, a check on Louisville, and a check on Florida
State. Really, to be honest with you, if not for a horrible start at Virginia, Clemson has a shot there.
No doubt.
Brutal start at Virginia. Yeah. If they play with any kind of semblance in the first 10 minutes, that's a one-possession game at the end, potentially.
And I would say also, Virginia at that time was still in that struggle mode, right? I mean, that wasn't what we see right now out of the Hoos. But still, your point is correct.
All right. This is also the point in the show where I've reminded you that only 17 times in 66 years have the top four seeds made the semifinals. And since 2000, it's only happened four times. Now, it has happened twice in the last four, 2016 and last year here in Charlotte. So, the odds are, however, that it won't happen, you know, this year. I mean, just based on 17 into 66. So, we'll see how this goes. I will say this, though. The 32 times a team has won both the regular season and the tournament. Mr. Packer.
Yeah, but who's going to win the regular season? To be determined.
I don't know. We could have any of four.
We could have four, and that we could have four tied for first by the time we get to the tournament.
And then we're clean.
Yeah, then everybody's good. All right, let's bring on a legendary figure. He's joined us before. Always a pleasure to have him on. Dick Vitale, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on again, Wes and Mark. You guys do a great job.
Thank you very much.
How was Charlottesville last Saturday, Coach? It looks like you got your money's worth there.
It was really great. The environment was unbelievable. You know, the game came down just like we expected, controlled tempo, and, you know, really play great defense. And their whole idea is keep you in the 50s. And Duke had to get into the 80s, and they weren't going to get up and down the court. And, you know, we talked before the game to Mike. I shared it during the telecast that when we talked to him before the game, he said, you know, we got to knock them out before we get to the last 2-3 minutes, because the bottom line is they're so acclimated to playing in those kind of situations where our kids are not. And if you look at their wins in their six-game winning streak, it's unbelievable. 50-49, 53-51, 52-50, and you just got to be able to put them away. Like Purdue did. Purdue beat them by 30 and led no doubt that they were going to win that game. And they're just there. They're tough to play, man. They are tough to play.
You know, back in the day, I remember those were called like Maalox Mashers, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Maalox Mashers, man. That Maalox, that mashed a lot on me, man, when I was coaching, I tell you that. That's why I went to TV where I'm undefeated. I got the best record in all of basketball, man, better than Krzyzewski's, because I never, ever lose.
All right, I'm putting you on the spot. You're allowed to change your mind on future dates. But Dick Vitale, on today's date, March the 4th, in your opinion, the best team in the ACC is whom?
Wow, that's a tough one. I say Florida State. I say Florida State right now. I thought Louisville, but I would say Florida State. I like their depth. I like they're very difficult to scout because you don't know who's going to break out for them. They play so many people. They play physical. They defend. I think Florida State on a neutral court.
The depth they have is intriguing, and I think that. And I was talking to some folks yesterday. I think the fact that they've been playing this way for 3 years. They now have a little bit of a heritage with the depth, and is it as big an advantage maybe in 2 weeks as I think it is, even with the longer games and the extended timeouts and that type deal?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a big advantage because, number one, I think they're very difficult to prepare for because you just don't know who is going to start for them in that given day. You know, Vassell's a good player, Forrest, and they got a lot of good guys coming off the bench as well. And I just think that Walker Kidd can score quickly. I just think they're so difficult to really prepare for. I really believe that. I think, you know, you go to Duke, you know you got to contain Jones and you got to really try to defend the big guy in a post. Louisville, if you can get Ward to have a bad game, they struggle. So, again, I think that they're the toughest team to really defend. Hey, watch North Carolina shock everybody and win the ACC tournament. Oh, that'd be something. They're playing better now, man. They're playing better.
Dick, I don't know if they can win five in 5 days, but there's no doubt they're playing their best basketball right now. No question.
Well, the reason for that, guys, is the play of the kid Brooks inside. Yeah. He's been really playing unbelievable, and they need him. They need him to score down in that post.
Well, and he had 25 again last night. I mean, the scoring aspect in his development, it's quite a credit to coach and his staff, because that young man has really developed as the season's gone on. I thought he was a third-team All-ACC guy. He may have played his way into the deep part of the second-team ballot, maybe even get some first-team votes.
You know what's really amazing, too, is if you factor in all the games they lost, they went through one stretch there, one buzzer beater after another losing. If those games, a point here, a point there, goes their way, wow, it's unbelievable. So, again, I know I give credit to Roy Williams. You know, it's easy to stand tall when you're the champ. It's easy to stand tall when everybody's telling you how great you are. But they never stopped playing. They never stopped fighting and battling and giving their best. And that's all starts from leadership. You find a lot about people when things are tough. You really do. You find out people that really what they're about. I mean, there's no question Carolina's going to be back bigger than ever. They got great recruits coming in next year. And it's just, it's a great learning experience. It really is. I look back at my life, you know, getting fired when I got fired by the Pistons. I thought it was the end of the world, man. The end of the world. And you got to bounce back.
Best thing ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Well, I got lucky. I got onto TV and got undefeated.
Dick, last night, from a national perspective, I mean, the four teams that we think they're going to make it from the ACC are all capable of getting to Atlanta. But again, last night was another snapshot of where we are nationally in college basketball. Maryland having a chance to clinch, loses at Rutgers. Iowa at home, Purdue gets them. Kentucky already clinched, loses at home to Tennessee. You know, you've been doing this a long, long time. I don't know if I can ever remember a season in college basketball, whether it be the ACC or nationally, where it just doesn't seem like anybody can take control. I know Kansas is number one. They're really good. You know, Baylor had a chance to stub their toe again the other night when they went in overtime. It seems like this is just a completely, totally upside-down world that unranked teams beat ranked teams on such a routine basis that you've almost gotten numb to this season. Don't you think this is going to be an extension once we get into the NCAA tournament, which has the potential of being totally insane?
Yeah, I really agree with you, the whole thing, what you said. I mean, every day it's like a shock when you look at the scores. I was certainly stunned by the Tennessee game because when I had it on for a while, they were down 17. Yeah. Second half, you forget, baby's over. It's at Rupp Arena. Are you kidding me? Down 17? And when I saw the final score at the end of the day, when I looked at the different scores, I couldn't believe it. But that has been the way of life, the way of life. I'll tell you a score that really shocked me totally was the one up in Iowa, because I was usually so tough at home. Yeah. And you would have thought after being embarrassed, they got embarrassed by Purdue at home. They got beat 104-68. I thought with Garza and company, they win that game because Purdue's been in a struggle. I got a question, and I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting for the committee how to handle. Do you take a team right now? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know Purdue's got 14 losses. They may head for another loss. Who knows? At the end of the year, they got one more game. They got the tournament to play. Do you take a team with 15 losses with major, major wins over a team, let's say, like Liberty? Let's say they get beat in their tournament and they're 27-4. Do you take them over a team like that? Do you take them over an East Tennessee State who had a phenomenal year? I'm interested to hear your feedback because I know I got my feelings.
I think the thing you look at, and I think this is where the committee challenge comes into play, I think you've got to break down the depth of people's schedules. I mean, when you start looking at, like, East Tennessee State, you know, they won the Southern Conference, obviously, in the regular season. But you start looking at who they beat, where they play them, when did they play them. And I'm not sure we've got an analytic yet that is really undefeated, if you will, when you start looking at the depth of teams.
I have a problem, though. I'll tell you this, Mark and Wes. I have a problem with this. You lay your bed down when you go to a conference. And if you can't be better than mediocre, I don't believe you deserve it over a team. We could sit here and argue schedules. Obviously, the schedule Purdue plays way better than those teams we just mentioned, East Tennessee right. State. No doubt about it. But still, you lose 15 games. I mean, come on. And you're supposed to get rewarded for being great for the year. I have a problem with that. I think what makes the tournament is sometimes having those little Davids in there, playing against the Giants, getting a chance to play against them. Because you know and I know scheduling is very, very difficult. I was on that other side years ago, man. I'm going to tell you, we beat Michigan my first year as a coach at the University of Detroit. We couldn't get them on the schedule. I begged and pleaded. It's not easy. So, again, it is really the big guys get every break going, every break. Now, I'll look at this with Purdue, and the reason it becomes really a big question, they beat Virginia by 30. They beat Michigan State by 29. They beat Iowa twice, 36, and then beat them at home. They beat Indiana twice. When you look at those heavyweight wins, you say they're automatic. They're in. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'd have no problem if they got in. I'll be honest with you, because they do have those kind of wins. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen, if the committee's going to go that way when you lose that many games.
Dick, here's how I'd answer the question. I think that if I am running the show at a smaller conference – to me, this is just my opinion, to me, a better indicator of my best team is what you did November, December, January, February, and parts of March, as opposed to, hey, we're going to have a tournament, and it's a roll the dice, and some dude plays with his hair on fire for 3 days and wins and steals a bid from my own league, per se. If I were a smaller league, I would say my regular season champ gets the bid. That's what I would say.
That's interesting. Interesting point you make there, because really there are times where that team gets left out while they head to the NIT. But you know and I know they all want to be chasing that dream of NC March Madness. Yeah, but it's going to be a great time. I got a big game Saturday because it became big by Baylor winning. I have Kansas on the road against Texas Tech. If Texas Tech beats them down there, then you got Baylor back with Kansas for the Big 12 title. The bottom line is, a Texas Tech team, for example, you look at their resume. They think they've lost four in a row. All tough, hard-fought games with teams like Baylor and, you know, some really, really tough teams. And then on the other side, you see a team came from unbelievable. They were buried. They were firing the coach. The coach was getting fired. He was done. Finished. Everybody I talked to said, no way Shaka Smart coming back to Texas. Oh, really? They just won five in a row, man. And they got like 19 wins, and they're going to be dancing in March. And he had some injuries along the way. So, you know, you got to let the season play out. And I'll give you one we didn't talk about. Wes, you didn't mention from last night. Was an interesting game, an interesting story. Down 15 at the half. 15 at the half on the road. You say it's over. Done. Because Penn State's been having a great year this year. But Michigan State comes back, wins that game, and now I don't, again, have records in front of me. I believe they're tied now with Maryland for first place in the Big Ten, which is the toughest conference at all. And I will send a message loud and clear to all you basketball fans. Don't you ever, ever count out Tom Izzo come March.
Hey, did you say you're going to Lubbock this weekend?
Yeah, going to Lubbock and then getting on a big plane. Bob Bushusen and I, as soon as that game ends, we're headed to Las Vegas. We're going to go see the Rod Stewart concert Saturday night. And I'm taking Bushusen. Bushusen wants to go see Fish. I said, we're going to see Rod Stewart, man. Seniority rates over a young guy. And then we go Monday and Tuesday. I'll see the Zags. And I'm going to tell you this. Gonzaga's not going to have it easy in this tournament as they've had in the past. BYU is for real.
Yeah, they're good.
They got older players. They are good, guys. They are really good. So is Creighton.
Well, before you get to Rod Stewart, you ought to carve out a few minutes in Lubbock and get your picture made. I know how you like that social media game. Get your picture made down there with Lorraine at the Buddy Holly statue in Lubbock, Texas, okay?
Oh, Buddy Holly's down there? A little cricket time. Buddy Holly and the crickets?
That's it. You did good. Way to go. Hey, Coach.
Hey, not bad for AD. I can remember stuff like that, Buddy Holly.
You're doing a hell of a job. Always great to have you with us. We look forward to seeing you in person at some point. We'd have a few laughs and a long visit. Be a good time.
We'll do that. Tell Seth Davis you got Seth coming on.
Seth Greenberg. He was on with us earlier. Yeah.
Oh, Seth was on early. I thought it was Seth Davis or Seth Green. The reason I mentioned Seth Davis, he did a major, major story on me today, and you got to subscribe to The Athletic to get it, though.
All right. We're subscribers. We'll take a look at you. Be good, my man. Take care.
All right, guys. Great tour. You guys do a terrific job, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Coach Vitale with us this morning on Packer and Turo.
Dick Vitale at a Rod Stewart concert. We're just going to let that marinate during the break.
Well, Schusen's a fish guy. He's exactly right. We'll have to talk to Bob about that. And though being the voice of the Jets, you probably need to calm it down with Rod Stewart.
Dick Vitale at a Rod Stewart concert in Vegas. Just let that one marinate for a couple minutes.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Now, seriously, close your eyes and envision Dick Vitale in the front row singing along. Rod Stewart concert in Vegas.
With Bob Schusen.
Love it. By the way, I had somebody ask me if Tom Luganville, our bud Tom Luganville from XFL fame, could come over and help with the snake, Kershaw. And he says he's available for cameo.
Tom Luganville did?
Lugs.
He responded to you?
Yeah, he responded to someone who asked, could you help Mark Packer with Kershaw? And Lugs says he is available for a cameo.
I called Lugs the other day and haven't heard back from him yet.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Well, he's XFL in it now.
Oh, is that it?
Pretty big. Week 4.
Maybe we ought to bring him in here Monday to get his thoughts on basketball before we get to the postseason.
No. You will not get Lugs breaking basketball down. That is not his go-to. He has learned to play to your strength.
Maybe we should ask him to be here the week after the ACC tournament. Come visit us in the basement. But we're not going to be here. That's kind of the point.
We're not going to be here.
That's kind of the point. Just invite him over.
Kind of miss Lugs, though, man.
I know. What happened?
The weekly visits.
Yeah. The radio robe, the whole bit.
Yeah. But nevertheless. All right. That's that. All right. Tonight, obviously,
we don't miss him that much.
Well, I mean, you know, he's good for an hour breaking it down. And, he brings in something to feed everybody and off he goes.
When we come back from Bristol, sometime later in that week that follows the spring break trip, we'll be in the midst of spring football. He'll have some data and some intel and things like that.
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay.
No doubt.
He's a staple of the program.
Right. Football season.
Yeah. All right. ACC baseball, very quickly here. We're going to go through baseball and a little bit of softball for you from yesterday on the scoreboard because there's several things we can cover here as we work our way to the Wednesday night ACC basketball slate. Louisville and Virginia. And Georgia Tech and Carolina all went double figures. Wake Forest shut out Sacred Heart. Florida State beats Mercer.
Yeah, but you know what? The ACC should be 6-0 against those teams. No disrespect to anyone on there.
There you go. All right, so that's the baseball side. Only just a couple of softball games from yesterday. Florida State beat Holy Cross 8-0. James Madison knocked off Virginia 10-3 in the ballgame. We were talking about at Palmer Park, the new facility there in Charlottesville. Also of note, here in Charlotte last night, Tim Duncan got a win as a head coach. Greg Popovich away from the team for business reasons. So number 21 of the Deeks. Got a victory against the Hornets, 104-103 in Uptown Charlotte last night.
Everybody beats the Hornets if we're not sitting courtside. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't have feet on the floor, Michael Jordan's team, that would be an L. Doesn't matter who's coaching. Doesn't matter who shows up.
How about Tim Duncan, though? Congratulations to remember when Dave Odom told us, well, you know, you played for Popovich, you got a lot out of it, so maybe you want to help him one year. Now all of a sudden he's got to win.
And Tim Duncan showed up for Dave Odom in the celebration in Winston-Salem a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he showed up last night with a W. Surprising. Yeah. Hornets loss.
So ACC women's tournament starts today. Carolina Wake Forest is at 1 o'clock inside the Coliseum. Notre Dame Pittsburgh 3:30, and then Miami Clemson is the nightcap, 6:30 on day one of the ACC women's basketball tournament. You can see all these games on the ESPN app through ACCNX as well. And then you see Thursday starts at 11 a.m. The winner of Carolina Wake will see Virginia Tech. Kenny Brooks and the Rookie of the Year, Liz Kittley, And then the rest of the Thursday, Friday, and you see the top four sitting over there waiting, Louisville in particular, and Florida State, Duke, and NC State. That'll be when we show up in Greensboro, that Friday morning for Packer and Durham ahead of the 11 a.m. start featuring Florida State.
Looking forward to that. Now, do we know where we're going to be? Has that been determined yet?
Like specifically?
Yeah, do we know specifically where we will be Friday? Are we on the floor? Are we in the upper deck? Are we at the barbecue hut? Are we in the complex?
Brown Summit?
Are we at the airport? I mean,
Summerfield.
Where are we? Do we? I mean, it is Wednesday. And I hear the Virginia Pep Band in the background, but does anyone know where we're going to be? Are we going to be in somebody's basement in Greensboro just to make us feel at home? What are we doing? Do we have that answer yet?
We are going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum.
Complex.
Yes.
But you have no idea where we're going to be specifically, do you?
No.
Where's that parking pass? Is this going to help me Friday or not?
Not next week. It'll help you next week when you go back up for the men's tournament.
Is anybody going to let us know where we're going to be? Anybody? Chester, Fuller, any idea?
Kershaw.
Kershaw's next.
Yeah.
Tell you that right now. Good games, though, tonight. Keep an eye on that Florida State score.
Kershaw is next.
Florida State, Notre Dame, the most important game tonight. Keep an eye on that. ACC Women's Tournament could be good, too. We're back tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m.
See
sharp
if we know where we're going to be Friday.
For another edition of Packer and Durham. I promise you, the basement.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.